basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is Bible Radio, the internet radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, St. Paul in Minnesota. And this is Sunday Morning Live. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a non-denominational church dedicated to the teaching and living out of God's Word. And now, Sunday Morning Live.
According to you, hey, we're going to be in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Do a little review on chapter 20 a bit there, but pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. I just ask you, Lord, that we just find out more about you and how much you love us. And then we can just take that same love and just turn it all around and share it with others. And so, Lord, we just praise you. We thank you for today and ask you to be that Lord and lift it up in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of you. What do I say, kids? I'm proud of you. So far. Same thing I told all my kids. Never tell your kids you're proud of them and it lasts forever. Say, I'm very proud of you. So far. All right. And I'm proud of you, church. All right, you're asking some pretty good questions this week. So you are getting the same experience my wife gets all the time. I have conversations that I thought she was there earlier. And so that sometimes could be in my teaching as well. So we're going to go over the first resurrection this morning. Some of you, I've been hearing people ask questions. And I've been at the coffee house hearing people answer it very certain ways and stuff. So I'm glad. But here's the first problem. I need you to take this note down, all right? Try to commit it to your superior memory. I'll remind it to you over and over again. The problem that the American Evangelical Church has with reading the Bible is you read it like an American, right? I'm an American. I want things in nice little orders, all right? Anyone traveled outside the United States? Lines do not exist outside the United States. All right, that's why I teach the flying V when we're touring and stuff, all right? We wedge through. So you want things in nice chronological orders and stuff, and you need to take the totality of all the Word of God when you are understanding. Listen, the commentary on the Bible, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. So let's just look at God's Word when it comes to this, all right? So in Revelation chapter 20, it talks about that those who receive the mark upon their foreheads and upon their heads. Listen, folks, do not let this great crisis go to waste. I don't know about you, but after 14, 15 months now, I mean, really, are we here now? Stop the curve, do the curve, put a curve, do it the curve, mask, double mask, do stuff like that. But now we're seeing all kinds of things that are happening. The Bible's coming alive. Amazon Prime, whatever, the waving with the palm of the hand. If you haven't seen that commercial, the smart cards, the chips, and the things that are happening there. You are able to take your Bibles and show people, says, what does that look like? Oh, that can't mean the mark on a forehead and there's a mark on the hand. Like, well, look what it says here. Look what it says here. And so we can see that even the Pentagon scientists have unveiled new COVID biochip plants to be embedded under the skin. This is. I had examples that I had from like a couple of weeks ago. I just trashed them a couple of days ago. I can't even keep up with this. Last night I said, you know what, type in this, what's new? Boom. So I came up with a couple of new things today. So I got rid of some other things here. But understand, this little itty bitty little chip. Now, I don't know, I might offend you and you might say, I'm not going to go to this church anymore because this pastor watches movies and I'm going to quote one. But Mission Impossible, you know, that little thing right there, they put that little chip under there. And listen, do you know why you have cell phones? They're cameras, actually, but they do cell phones now, right? It's because of Dick Tracy. And you with your little watches and stuff like that. That's all from Dick Tracy. And Star Trek. Don't mock Star Trek. All that stuff's right there, right? I mean, all this stuff's coming. Hey, I like that. Let's build it. I am upset. Ed, are you with me on this, right? I'm 58. I'll be 59 this year. 15, 20 years ago, we were supposed to have our jetpacks. I grew up on the Jetsons, right? Whoa, all right? I mean, we see these things, all right? But here's the Bible. It's happening right before us. Here comes a little video for you. Here.
Dr. Hepburn showed us a few current projects. Some sound like they're from an episode of Star Trek. Consider a ship like the USS Theodore Roosevelt, hobbled last year when 1,271 crew members tested positive for the coronavirus. What if everyone on board had their health monitored with this subdermal implant, now in late-stage testing? It's not some dreaded government microchip to track your every move, but a tissue-like gel engineered to continuously test your blood.
It's a sensor.
This tiny green thing in there?
That tiny green thing in there, you put it underneath your skin, and what that tells you is that there are chemical reactions going on inside the body, and that signal means you're going to have symptoms tomorrow.
Wow. There's an actual transmitter in that?
Yeah, it's like a check engine light.
Check this sailor out before he infects other people.
That's right.
Sailors would get the signal, then self-administer a blood draw and test themselves on site.
Look at that.
We can have that information in 3 to 5 minutes. As you truncate that time, as you diagnose and treat, what you do is you stop the infection in its tracks.
Any military in here? Still like those shots they gave us? Here's for your safety. Here you go. All right, yeah. It's not going to track. If you're not going to track, why do you have to give a name and a phone number when you go to restaurants right now in Minnesovians? Why do you do that? Because it's not for tracking, all right? But listen, we saw last week as far as that there's going to be books that are going to be open up on that great white throne judgment. And this is where that first resurrection comes in. So there's a book that will be open, one book, the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name just needs to be found in that. But if you want to stand on your own merits, well, then all the books will be opened up. And then you got to remember Matthew 5:48 says, then you need to be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So you're really going to try to give an argument right there? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. An actual real fire, folks. I want to let you know that. I gave you some examples here about the difference between the rapture and the second coming. And you know certain things here. But we know the very end there of the rapture is that the purpose is to unite with Jesus. But the second coming is the purpose is to receive the inheritance. So we come back, right? We come back on horses there. We come with him. Gave you a little bit of a timeline there. And Jesus goes on. And again, this is all, everything I'm giving, this is in Matthew chapter 24. And he keeps talking about that generation that sees that. Now, whatever generation is alive that's seeing all these things, I mean, are we looking at little chips and things that can be implanted in us? Do we see all the smart technology that's going on? We see it's happening. We see the prophecy in Isaiah coming to pass that in the last days, that knowledge will be running to and fro. I mean, it'll be exponentially. I mean, in the turn of the last century, everything that had been accomplished all of the 5,000, 6,000 years of the world's history was put in. In 100 years after that, up to 2,000, everything that happened in the last 1,000 years was put together in 100 years. Do you realize from 2000 to 2000, from 2021 or by 2010, everything that happened in the last 100 years of technology was developed within 10 years? I mean, this thing's happening faster and faster and faster, just as prophecy says. And understand this, I read the old commentators, the old dead dudes, right? I like my history. You should read the commentaries for when the telegraph came out. And preachers like me who didn't have these keynote presentations, whatever, but talk about, it's happening, folks. The telegraph. Now we can see how the news can span the whole world and we can do those things. And then when fiber optics came and they were laying cable across the ocean so they get to the Atlantic and the Bible commentators, look at the technology that's going to happen in there. Do you ever look at the original Star Trek and go, oh, what graphics? Sometimes we watch science fiction and we're like, we watched, again, if I do watch movies, but watching the last Starfighter from the 80s and whatever, and like, and we just look like, we just watch it because it's cheesy. But I remember watching 1980. Ooh. Oh, wow. But if you're really good, if you're old enough, you realize that the monsters that were used on Star Trek were used in Lost in Space. They were filmed on the same lot. They just kind of repositioned them a little bit there. So, hey, I've seen that one before. But Jesus goes on to explain that this is the first resurrection. And it might seem like, well, what's up with and this is the question. It says, it just seems like what's happening to everybody else? Because it seems that only those who are resurrected from bodily are the tribulation saints. And this is a special vindication for these tribulation saints. It's to give them encouragement. Remember, we're not in the book of Revelation after chapter 3. We don't show up, the church doesn't show up again until chapter 19. Remember, get your horse riding lessons, right? We don't show up until after that. This is a special encouragement for the tribulation saints because they're either going to be beheaded, and the actual word means to be executed, but there will be beheadings going on. And just because they are not specifically mentioned, but there's other things, so we're going to use the Bible to go through and understand this first resurrection. Again, Jesus and all those who overcome in Jesus will rule and reign with him. What does all mean? All. Excellent. So the tribulation saints, the patriarchs of old. Any of you read the Gospel of Matthew? Anyone not read the Gospel? I don't want to be a spoiler alert, but I'm assuming everyone's read the Gospel of Matthew here. If you haven't, close your ears because I'm going to do something here. Remember that part where Jesus, the temple veil is ripped and the graves are opened up and the old dead dudes and dudettes came out, right? So it started freaking everybody out, the tombs, the patriarchs of old. Jesus says from that right there, it starts the resurrection. We will bodily be before the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4, write that one down, kids. It says that, what does it say that he descended, that he also ascended, but that he first descended so that he could go and preach to the captives and that he could lead captivity captive. Now, that's a quote from Isaiah. And some would say, and I've used it, especially when I've ministered to people in prison. Listen, he's talking to the captives and it's talking about this. There was a place because Jesus said to the thief, one of the thieves on the cross who acknowledged him, he says, today you will be with me in paradise. He did not say heaven. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And you have to know all of the Old Testament, lots of parts of it, because that's not a brand new word. Jesus did not say one thing new. He didn't say one thing. Even born again is not a new terminology. He had to retell that to Nicodemus at the Nick at Night incident, right? And so here, he explains to them that these things, that they're all going to reign, that he goes. There was a saved and unsaved side. Jesus did not use a parable when he talks about the rich man and Lazarus who went to Sheol, to grave. One side was called Abraham's bosom. The other side was called hot. And they was tormented there. And what did the rich man say? Oh, please, Father Abraham. It was known as Abraham's bosom, Sheol, the grave. And so Jesus goes for 3 days, and it's a mere formality. Hey, y'all been waiting here. You want to stay here? Go to heaven with me, because in a couple of days, the graves are going to open up, and you guys are going to get out. Well, yeah, but he tells that story of a true incident. He relates it. It's not a parable. He doesn't say, I'm telling you a parable. I'm telling you a story. He just said, there was once a rich man, and there was a poor man, Lazarus. And he said, and the rich man said, hey, Father Abraham, have Lazarus just dip his fingers into the water and just to quench my thirst. It's so hot here. He says, there's a chasm between us. You can't come over here. We can't come over there. It's done. Your fate is sealed. Well, send someone back to warn him. He says, they have Moses. They have the prophets. They have the very scriptures, Jesus says, that testify of him. But even if someone was to come back from the dead, they wouldn't even believe him. Now, I don't know if he was talking about the actual Lazarus, because Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, had already recently been raised from the dead, and he was at that dinner at that Pharisee's house. Again, like me, I'm not Jesus, and we're all thankful for that, because you can get into heaven now. But thankful, I'm not God, but if he says, and even if one would come back from the dead, they wouldn't even believe him. You know, just, and what did they do after that? They said, many people are believing in Jesus. So what are they going to do? We're going to plot. We're going to try to kill Lazarus. Did you not figure out the first time? I mean, I don't know if it would kill him, he rises. I don't know if they're going to get the plot or not. But all those who overcome in Jesus will rule and reign with him. What does all mean? A lot of people spend a lot of time in Bible colleges, and they can't figure that word out here. So why does John only mention the tribulation saints? Again, it was a special vindication for those. Remember, again, the Antichrist who said, I will rule the earth. No, you're not an authority anymore. Antichrist, again, is destroyed and those. So just because he mentions, listen, Americans, right? Just because he only mentions the tribulation saints doesn't mean that we're not going to be there either. Because this whole thing, when it comes to this first resurrection, think of it as an order of things. When the rapture happens, who will rise first? The dead in Christ, okay? The dead in Christ. There has to be a bodily resurrection, but spiritually, it tells us that when to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We are going to get these physical bodies. Oh, it's exciting. I know what's coming, so I'm trying not to rush this one. But this thing that this resurrection is, think of it like in phases. For those who were dead, and in Abraham's bosom, Sheol, the grave, the patriarchs of old, they died in the faith. Their bodies got to heaven. They're boom, out of the graves, boom, they're already there. When the rapture happens, who physically gets resurrected? The dead in Christ. Their bodies go up there. Okay, here's your test. This is a pop quiz. When the dead in Christ are raised, before the second coming of Christ, all right, the rapture happens. You ready, kids? I'm looking at you, man. How do our bodies, for those who are alive, how do our bodies get to heaven physically? I agree with you, Bo. Thumbs up. But how do they get to heaven? The rapture. Our bodies are physically going to be there. So those who have died. So if you die, unlike Diane back here, who was snatched from the arms of Jesus on the operating table, she wants to go together with us, but I would have picked the other one. But okay, okay. All right, Diane, just stick around there. All right, when your pipes freeze next winter, you might be rethinking. You know, you had that shot. Okay, all right. So like that. I remember waking up, oh, the light, let me go to the light. And the surgeon goes, that's just the light over the operating table. That's okay. I'm excited about that. This first resurrection is that they're bodily going to be before the Lord, because in Revelation 20, that's the great white throne judgment. That's the judgment. You will physically be. You might ask the question, and no one asks this question. Well, if we're already in heaven, or the rapture happens and our bodies are there, why do we need bodies? I'm glad you didn't ask, but you thought about it, but now you're thinking about it. We're to be absent from the body spiritually. It means to be present with the Lord. But then why do we actually need a body? Because we read the Bible. Look what's happening here. Because one, because God said so. Any parents here? Because he said so. But he's got a reason, all right? You're going to be bodily resurrected, and you're going to be there. So this whole thing with this first resurrection, it's not just a one-time event. It's continually happening. And then so, again, we're going to see that. So this resurrection, this first resurrection is the gathering, okay? The granting of the resurrection of life in resurrection bodies to all those dead in Christ. So if you die, you go to be with the Lord spiritually, but your body will eventually be before the Lord. For that great white throne judgment, we stand already in our resurrected bodies, our glorified bodies, but we've already been to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We've already participated. We've already been rewarded. We already know what's going to go on. We're just waiting for that horse ride back, right? This resurrection, again, what does it tell us about this first resurrection? And again, these are Old Testament terminologies. And again, Jesus says this in the New Testament. It's the blessed and the Holy One is that this is that blessing. This resurrection is the power over the second death. It has no power. If you die a physical death right now and you are spiritually born again, you only die once. But if you are not born again, if Jesus Christ is not your Savior and Lord, you die of a physical death. And then, as we see in Revelation 20, there will be a second death. It'll be the final death. And they will be priests of God, shall reign with him 1,000 years. These two events, okay, these two events are separated by 1,000 years. Look at the Gospel of John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Do not marvel. You're probably marveling, right? Do not marvel, for this hour is coming in which all, again, what does all mean? All right, very good. In which, it says here that for this hour is coming in which all who are in graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. It's just separated by 1,000 years. Now, quiz. Let's try this side, okay? This is John chapter 5. Was Jesus crucified yet? Okay, because you know many chapters later. All right, if you haven't read the Gospel of John, spoiler alert, he dies, but he comes back in the end, all right? But so he's saying, they're going to hear my voice. Again, Ephesians chapter 4 says that he goes and he went and just mere formality to preach to the captives, and he led captivity captive. When he came out of the graves, what happened? It tells us right there in the Gospels. Not only that, this isn't just biblical information, but you can read Tacitus, who was a Roman historian, Josephus, who was a Jewish historian, and many others who talked about this freakout event in Jerusalem. And Jesus did not, you know, come riding across a donkey with no name across the desert and into Jerusalem. It was a big event, what we call the triumphal entry. But he entered in, and that's when he started to receive praise and honor as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Before that, what did he always tell everybody? Shh, don't say anything yet. My time's not yet. And as he's receiving that praise and that honor and that worship, it's like, now it's time. So this event is separated by 1,000 years. So there is going to be this resurrection. That is the first resurrection. In chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, you need to do your own homework. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about our earthly bodies and our spiritual bodies and then our resurrected bodies. This is nothing new. Apostle Paul talks to us about that. And if Jesus Christ isn't raised from the dead, then we're to be pitied of all. Because this relationship that we have with God is based on the resurrection. Any other, and again, we can't even call this religion, but all the religions of the world have rules and regulations. You can take Muhammad out of Islam and you still have Islam. Buddha out of Buddhism, still have Buddhism. Hare Krishna out of Krishna, you still have horrible food and bad breath. You do all these things. I tried it once. But they lost me, man. All right, but tried all these religions, and you still have rules and regulations. Jesus Christ proved that he was God because he came back from the dead. Just came back from the dead and proved that. And again, that's just not my opinion. But again, you look at all the historians, you look at the actual factual history, and I did. I was, you know, I looked at God's word as a criminal because that's what I came from. I came from the criminal element. And I looked, and as I would do my own investigation, the reason why the Gospels are credible to me is because none of their stories match exactly the same. I know it's a con going on when everyone's story and their alibis are exactly the same. That's the con. But there's different variations and there's more detail. And if you're trying to run a con, you don't add more detail to this event that you're trying to fool people about. When you're telling a lie, you don't try, you make sure there's some truth in it when you're trying to fool somebody. And that way you don't have to try to keep it all together there. And so that's when I'm like, hey, there's something odd here. Many people says, well, the stories don't match. Okay, I can tell you didn't grow up in a criminal family. Okay. And so those are the things that caused me to search over and over again. Now, someone stole my idea. It was a homicide detective who does cold cases in Los Angeles, and he wrote a book a few years back called Cold Case for Christ, and he cracked the whole thing, and he said the same thing. He came through it from the law enforcement side. I came through it from the criminal side, and we came to the same conclusion looking at the same evidence there. So, but he wrote a book. All right, you just get this. All right? But here's the thing that comes down to Revelation chapter 21. That first resurrection is still happening. There's going to be a bodily resurrection for our lives. Why? Folks, we come back in that millennial kingdom, millennial Latin meaning 1,000-year reign. When Jesus was in his resurrected body, did he eat? He ate. Now, he wasn't a phantom, because he didn't eat and he was translucent and they saw the food go through his esophagus, whatever. I don't know. I went to Disneyland as a kid and I saw the Pirates of the Caribbean where the guy drinks that little fake bottle and you can see it going through the skeleton, or Casper the Friendly Ghost. Okay, you're gone now, aren't you? But, you know, you see all those things? No. He actually physically ate. And then you and I eat in heaven spiritually, the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's not metaphorical. Actual things are going on. And when we come back and reign and rule in the millennial kingdom, we come back in physical bodies. We will be subjected to some terrestrial things here on earth. But folks, maybe this doesn't excite you, but we get to eat for 1,000 years on earth.
Yeah.
You need a physical body to do that, all right? You need a physical body to do that. And I don't believe White Castles will be here, but so don't be too bummed for some of you, but because that's demonic food. We're eating angel food, all right? But we're not just going to be little spirits floating around. We're physically going to be reigning and rule here, and you need a physical body to do that in, and we'll be eating. Now, it does say in Isaiah 65, chapter 65, verse 20 and 25, and it does say that the lion or the wolf lays down with the lamb. It's not the lion lays down with the lamb. It's the wolf lays down with the lamb, and the lion eats straw. Some say that we'll be pre-Adam and Eve, like in the garden. Does that mean we'll be vegetarians? We'll be eating for 1,000 years. What it'll be, we'll be happy about it. Okay, we'll be happy about it. We'll just be happy about it. Okay, just we eat for 1,000 years. It's happy. Will we gain weight? I don't know if you're vegetarians, but all right. So these are the things that we have. That's part of that first resurrection. You need a physical body to eat. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Metaphorical, allegorical, or literal? Literal, okay. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's a word picture. That looks pretty cool, right? I mean, we really do things differently here, especially in America. I've been to one wedding. Some people, the unsaved really didn't get it. The Christians really did get it. But the way it's supposed to be is the bride's supposed to be up here. And the bridegroom comes and gets his bride. Right? That's how it's supposed to be. And so I was at a wedding where they did that. And I was like, she's already up there. What's going on here? And then they played the chorus, hallelujah. And all the unsaved people like going, that's just weird. And then the Christian's like, oh, I get it. Don't like it. But I get it. And the bride, she went along with it and stuff. But we'll see what happens when they do their remarriage. What will happen? And the renewing of their vows. But that really, it's the bridegroom coming for the bride. That is a Jewish wedding. That is, she's to be waiting. You see her the whole time. And it's when you read the Song of Solomon. He comes and he gets his bride. That's how it's supposed to be. Jesus is coming to take us away. Ha-ha, right? He's coming. But that subtle thing, before that physical return of Christ, we meet him up in the air. And so he says here, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Right now, there's a filter. Right now, we can't be, just like Moses says, I know you're the great I am, you're the I am. Show yourself to me. Says, if you looked at me, you would be consumed in your sin. So I'll put a cloud here and I'll pass by you and you're basically going to see my backside. That's about it. And even at that, Moses says, I'm unclean. Just don't come. I can't see this anymore. Didn't realize what I was asking for. We get to see him. Not like my daughter when she was 4.5, 5 years old. She's drawing a picture. You know, we home educated our kids. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm drawing a picture of God. I kid you not, man. It's still my funniest thing. I go, Kara, that's sweet, but really, no one knows what God looks like. She goes, they will when I'm done. Okay, she drew I think she was trying to draw a dove descending on Jesus, but it looked like someone shot a seagull out of the air and it was dive bombing. But we're going to be able to see God finally, folks, because we'll be in our perfected, glorified bodies. And we see songs. We want to see him someday. If we want to sing, Ed, you got to chase some worms there. We want to see you, Lord. Just not right now. Because we'll be spontaneous combustion. Boom. Because he cannot look upon sin. And we're going to be in our physical bodies, folks. And then God shall wipe away every tear. This is the verse you need to underline. This is what you need to be incited, incentivized, and motivated about. Because it's only then will all the tears be wiped away. We will be in our physical bodies for 1,000 years. And what does it tell us? In Matthew chapter 25, you know that whole thing about the separating of the sheep and the goats? On the left and on the right? That's not about Christians, folks. That's going into the millennial kingdom and all those who've dealt with the nation of Israel. That 7-year tribulation period is all about the nation of Israel. It's the 70th week of Daniel, if you're taking notes. It's in Daniel chapter 9. It's specifically dealing with the coming back together of the nation of Israel and their hearts towards God and whoever else is left on earth. The Holocaust and people and Corrie ten Boom and others hiding Jews and smuggling them out, that was a dress rehearsal for what's going to happen here. How will you treat the nation of Israel? How, and that's what everyone, that's why I know someday America will turn its back officially on Israel. Because the Bible says one day everyone will be against Israel. And I don't want to, we'll be raptured out of here, but that's not a good thing. One of my sons was stationed overseas, was being deployed, and was going through and was leading a lot of his troops, a lot of the guys in his platoon to the Lord, and it was having Bible studies with them. And he actually went to his first sergeant, his gunny, and his first sergeant, and his captain, and says, hey, look, I want to show you right here. And he shows him in the Bible. It says, because at that time, we were looking at going into Israel in the early 2000s. There were some things going on in Israel, and President then was talking about sending in American troops to go and secure the Temple Mount area. And he comes in, he says, listen, you ever heard of a Philistine, Gergesite, Hittite, Uptite, Outsite, Outerite, all these ites and all this stuff? They don't exist anymore. Babylon doesn't exist anymore. Something like that. And he goes, I just want to let you know, if you're ordering me to go into Israel, you might as well just send me to the brig. I'm not going to fight against Israel. It's a losing battle. And they're like, really? Just want to let you know. And he was able to witness to them and share that with him. That's bold. All right. He says, but you understand, there's going to be people who enter into that millennial kingdom. For whatever reason, they didn't get saved. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 20 tells us that when someone dies at the age of 90, they'll be considered a babe and a toddler, be considered a young child. So that means ages are going to continue on. There's going to be people who are unsaved who enter into the millennial kingdom. I don't know how that is. But we know there's people who make moral choices. Oscar Schindler, you know that movie, right? You know that thing. There's a guy who saved 1,100 Jews in his wartime plants and things that he was doing. He just knew that was the right thing. But this guy never made a profession of Christ. Back when we did tour Israel, I would take people to his grave that the nation of Israel petitioned that his body could be buried in a Christian cemetery, a non-Jewish cemetery. And I'd say, there's a guy who knew he couldn't. See, so there's people who know some moralistically, or they know the right thing to do or whatever. But there will be people in it. And there will be people born in the millennial kingdom, because it says at the end, they're going to war against God. Like, how could that? And understand this, there will be sacrifices going on in that millennial kingdom. We've already gone through the book of Isaiah. We're going through Ezekiel. There's still sacrifices going on. Maybe we get to eat those, but there's still sacrifices going on. Not for a remission of sins, but pointing back to the finished work of Christ. We already do that. We have communion. We have the body and blood of Jesus Christ, not the real body and blood of Jesus Christ. John chapter 6 says these things are spiritual. These things are just a reminder. So there will be a continual reminder, because that tabernacle, that tent of meeting or the temple, that's a facsimile. That's a copy of that which is in heaven. And so the tabernacle of God, these things are coming down. They're in the millennial kingdom. There's always going to be a continual reminder of God and what he did. And yet there's still going to be people who reject Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Well, how could that be? I don't know. Parents? Just because John chapter 1 tells us that it's only those who receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, it's then he gives them the right to be called children of God. Not everyone here might be a child of God today. He's got the whole world in his hands, right? We're all the children of God. You ever people say that? They're all the God's children. No, we're not. Theologically, no. We're all part of his creation. But only those that call upon the name of Jesus Christ, he's then given them the right to be called children of God, not by a husband's or a wife's decision, not by human descent, but it's simply by them receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Then he's given them. That's the Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. And so here, it's after that 1,000 years. So we're going to come back in physical bodies, and we're going to feel things. We're going to know each other, by the way, as well. It isn't like, boop, blank slate, right? I brought home napkins the other day. Did you see that? All right, I brought home napkins the other day. I've been working on it 33 and a half years. All right, but I actually remembered. But these are the things. But that whole napkin issue will be done away with in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. And in the millennial kingdom, all right? And I don't know, because right now I have magic counters because I can leave crumpled up things on the counter and I wake up in the morning, they're gone. I don't know about you. She left for a while. I think she broke them when she left for a couple of weeks to visit kids. But these counters, and the laundry, it's great. I just put them in a basket and they show up in my closet, folded. It's amazing. You got to get washers and dryers like that. All that will be done away with there. I know your wives are just, oh, pray for her. Pray for her, all right? It's only then all the tears will be wiped away. And understand this, and why I want you to underline this verse, because I really want to motivate you. We'll see people one more time. If it's unto salvation, we're all in heaven, right? But one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's at chapter 20. That's that judgment where they stand bodily before the Lord. And I'm going to see family members who I preach the gospel to who will go to the second death. I'm not going to sit there and go, told you so! It's only after all that will there be no more tears. It's only after the 1,000-year reign to see that your heart still break, that there's like, are you kidding me? You're still living this way? You're not going to give your life to Jesus? I mean, everything, I mean, how easy is it? I mean, the millennial kingdom to believe. I mean, we're living longer lives. But understand this, people who are born in the millennial kingdom, that's all they know. Some of you kids, all you know are cell phones take pictures. All you know is your iPods do things. Some of you, you only know. Some of you have never experienced, geek, geek. What is that, mom and dad? All right. Some of you have never experienced. Some of you have never even experienced. And I kid you not, a kid last year with a cordless phone, I said, call so-and-so at the coffee house. How do you do that? And he pushed the button and he heard, he heard a dial tone. He goes, what is that? You're 13 years old. What is that? Is this broken? That's a dial tone. What is that? You don't know what a dial tone is? No. And I go, well, now you start dialing the number and stuff like that. He goes, great. And then he walked out and he comes back a few minutes later. He goes, this is broken. Why? Well, I walked down the block. It's not a mobile phone. It's a cordless phone. He goes, oh, he just started walking off down the street to go get something to eat, like he's talking to somebody. He gets a you know, 150 feet away, and he's like, I'm sorry, I'm losing you. It's all they know. It's all they know. Some of you, all you know, you've always had seatbelts. I came across Route 66 three different times in a 61 Impala station wagon. No seatbelts. And mom's smoking three packs a day of Pall Mall. You know, two and three, I could blow smoke rings. You understand? That's the life. All right. And so here, it's only verse 4. We're going to see family and friends and coworkers. We're going to see people during that millennial kingdom or during that Revelation 20. And our hearts are going to be saddened. Our heart will be saddened one more time to see a sister who made sure she told my other brothers and sisters to say, hey, make sure our little brother knows that I didn't turn to Jesus and I never accepted Christ, and she perished. Others, man, that I'm going to see. Guys that I've lost in the Marines, guys that given their lives for this country, and others we're just talking to, and the next day they roll their car and they die and they go into eternity. And having an argument with this one guy says, don't worry, man, the church is going to save me. Someone, don't worry about it. I can do whatever I want, and they'll pray me out. I'll probably have to go somewhere for a little bit. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I was never raised in that denomination. I was a New Ager. And he He started telling me about this place that when you die, you go, and then if you have enough people on the outside, they'll pray you out of there after so many years, whatever, and you can eventually make it. I'm like, I didn't know anything about that. I'm like, well, that just sounds crazy. What are you talking about? And then I began to study this guy's religion, and I'd come back to him and start telling him things. He goes, that's just not what it says. I'm like, how do I know more about your religion? An address is not going to save you. A group of people do not know. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, and this is the last thing I told him, it's appointed unto man once to die and then face judgment. Now, that might be 1,000 years in between the first resurrection and the second resurrection. And then, hey, where's so-and-so? Oh, man, didn't you hear last night? Went to the E Club with that and came back and he rolled his car 7 times and he's dead. And people often say, well, I've got this plan. That just before I die, I know the thing. I'll just repent and give my life to Jesus. I practice it sometimes. I just don't finish it off. And I know, guys, and I say, well, you know what? It only takes 0.7 seconds to be rear-ended if your vehicle is stopped and someone rear-ends you at 35 miles an hour. If you hit a stopped vehicle, that's like double the impact. So that's almost like 70 miles an hour. From the back seat through the windshield of the car, it takes 0.7 seconds for you to be flung through that windshield. How fast can you pray? Especially when you don't see it coming or hear it coming. I said, no, how about take care of it right now? You see, I'm going to see those people one more time. That's why I really take to heart what the Apostle Paul says. He says, I have not shunned to give the whole counsel of God's word to everybody, that the blood of no one will be upon my hands. You see, July is a tough month, right? It's been easier over the last few years, but Kimberly didn't understand it. I didn't even quite understand it because I didn't meet her, didn't get married till later. But July was just always a tough month for me. And I actually went back to listen to some old teachings from 20 years ago, and like around July. July 11th is when my sister died. Someone I've been sharing the gospel with, one of my other sisters died, and I talked to her a couple of nights before she was murdered, and she's over in another country, and I'm just, Leanne, you got to give your life to Jesus, and just, you got to do it now, because through the gift of prophecy and word of knowledge, I knew that she wasn't going to come back alive. And how do you tell that to your unsaved family and friends, and they're there, and I get there, and I know she was going to call my mom's home, so I made sure I was there after work. I drove hundreds of miles to get there to be there for that phone call, and I'm preaching to her, and they grab the phone, and I said, cut it out, man, let me talk to her. And I'm like, sis, I brought you to church, I've ministered to you. I've done all these things. And her thing is, I'm just too dirty. And I'm like, look, you don't take a bath before you take a shower. You don't get cleaned up to get cleaned up. Just come as you are. Look at me. Look at our lives. Just come as you are. I don't know. But it's because of that and her death that I went around the rest of the nation and on my motorcycle with few months evangelizing every family and friend I knew, people I met for the first time, guys I was in the Corps with. I wanted to make sure everybody knew Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And because I wanted to make sure the blood of no one would be upon me. I want to make sure that my neighbor next door, who, this guy's tough, man. Inviting him to church, inviting him to various things. I want to make sure. I don't want to get to heaven and stand before the judgment. Says, we were neighbors all this time and you never said anything? Trust me, my neighbors know me. I'm in the neighborhood, all right? Think of a new banner. My old banner just came down. I'm thinking of a new banner to come up there. But God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. It's only after all that, the new heavens and the new earth. We will physically eat tofu, whatever straw, veggies, Brussels sprouts. I love Brussels sprouts, a little olive oil, and a lot of bacon bits. All right, I really love. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are deceptive and hard to understand. Different Bible? Huh. Says, right, for these words are true and faithful. I can bank on him. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That means that's the Greek, meaning the beginning and the end of the alphabet, the Toph and the Alph. In other words, the same thing in the Old Testament. I'm the beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is that is a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Man. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You think of death that our body ceases to exist, but the word death means that separation. It's death from that. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and he talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Ta-da! It's you and I, by the way. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the great city and the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was the light unto the stone, most precious, and even like the jasper stone and clear as crystal. He's just trying to take human terminology and trying to make it the best as way that I can, is that he can understand. And having the glory of God, and her light was like unto the stone and most precious, even like unto a jasper stone, clear as a crystal. Verse 12. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east, 3 gates, and on the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles, the Lamb. See, that's why you get those 24 elders early on. You have the 12 tribes, and you have the 12 apostles. Well, wait a minute. Judas isn't there. Who's the other apostle? Trivia question. They casted lots for the one to take his place because they said there should be one. And they read the prophecy in Isaiah, and they said there should be one that takes his place. And they cast lots, and they drew and Matthias. We never hear Matthias, do we? But that's before the day of Pentecost. You see, they went on their program and they went on their thing and said, well, what do we do? It says here, you know, and it's chunky. It's that kind of chunky for you and I when we're first reading the Bible and we're just trying to do the things that we think that are right in the Bible. And we're, okay, what do we do? It says, one should take his place. Well, what should we do? We shall cast lots for it. And then they got filled with the Holy Ghost. They had the Holy Spirit in them as a sign and the seal of their salvation. But then the baptism, the Holy Spirit epi came upon them and they didn't act the same way anymore. What does the Apostle Paul say of himself? I'm one born out of time. They might be these apostles. Very well could be the Apostle Paul. Is it Matthias? I tell you, I know exactly who it's going to be. And when we get there, I'll tell you who it is. And he talked with me, and he had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length of it as large as the breadth, and the measure of the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are all equal. And he measured the wall thereof in 140 and 44 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was as jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third of, you try it. And then the fourth, what is it? Yeah, I still didn't hear you, I'm deaf. All right, and the fourth is an emerald. I know that one. And the fifth, sardonyx? Okay, all right, the sixth, sardis. The seventh, I think of crystal light. The eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, and the tenth, and then the 11th, jaconeth, and the 12th, amethyst. I'm dyslexic, folks, so you do not want to hear what's going to come out of my mouth. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every seven gates was one of pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. I like the guy, the joke I hear about the kid who says, hey, can I take something with me to heaven? He says, what's universal? He says, I'm going to take gold. Gold, you can take it wherever you go. Gets to heaven. There's Michael the archangel. Opens up a suitcase. Says, you're the only one who gets a special dispensation to bring something to heaven, and you bring pavement? Verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. Okay, and the Lamb are the temple to it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And all the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Why do we lock our doors? Not going to be any need for that, folks. Not going to be any. There's no way to keep me out of your house when we get to heaven. I just want you to know that. And right now, there's no way to keep me out of it as well. But that's a different story. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Folks, let me just finish with this.
Hey, Nathan, can I ask you something?
Yeah, what's up?
Do you really feel like it messed up your childhood not having a dad?
More than you know. I struggled with who I was, trying to prove myself. Almost got in the game. You know, if fathers just did what they're supposed to do, half of the junk that we face on the streets wouldn't exist. Why are you worried about it? You nervous about being a father one day?
I already am one.
You got a kid?
A little girl. She's 4 now. I was playing ball in college. Hooked up with a cheerleader. I told her to take care of it. She didn't do it. So I got mad and left her to deal with it herself. You know, she lives 30 minutes away now. I can't bring myself to go see her.
Is she married?
No. I just never really loved her, you know? And then hearing you guys talk about how fathers walking out messed up the kids, and then seeing this stuff, I don't want to be one of those guys.
David, part of being a man is about taking responsibility. Any fool can have a child.
I'm just tired of feeling guilty.
Let me break it to you this way. You are guilty. Listen, one day you, me, and every one of us are going to have to stand before God. And he's going to do what good judges do.
Well, then I hope my good outweighs my bad, Nathan.
That's not the way it works. You know that. Let me put it this way. Who's the person you're closest to?
Probably my mom.
Okay. Suppose she was brutally attacked and murdered in a parking lot. The guy was caught and put on trial. But he says, hey, judge, I committed this crime, but I've done a lot of good in my life. If the judge let him go free, would you say he was a good judge or a bad judge?
A bad one.
That's right. Because the Bible says that God is a good judge, and he will punish the guilty not for what they did right, but for what they did wrong. Because he loved us, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take the punishment that we deserve and put it on himself. And that's why he died on the cross. But it only applies if you accept it. That's why I asked for his forgiveness. I asked him to save me. And I'm a new man because of Christ. You understand what I'm telling you? Then what's holding you back?
Nothing.
That's the thing I ask. What's holding people back? There's And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. It's just that simple, folks. So it all comes down to, talked with a believer yesterday, and he's just hadn't seen him in about a year or so. We got together and just was able to encourage him. He said, I'm just so angry, you know, what's going on around the nation in Minnesota and stuff. Let's not forget the simplest thing. I just have a way to say, look, you can use what's happening in our nation and in Minnesota right now and share with others. Why are certain people afraid to die? What's happened? Because their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's why I could start off and we can joke and say, Diane was snatched from the arms of Jesus on that operating table and she's here and she wants to go up on the rapture. But come winter, when her pipes freeze again, she might be rethinking that whole thing, right? Now, we can talk about that and we can laugh and we can joke and we encourage one another because we know someday we're going to be with Jesus. But we're going to see people one more time, whether it be under salvation or it be at their judgment. Let the blood of Christ not be upon anyone's hands, and let it be upon everyone's heads that they atone for. But it really just comes down to that. So if there be any here today that your relationship with God does not assure you that you'll go to heaven when you die, what's holding you back? God must judge sin. It's not me. As I grew up as a New Ager, you think the good and the bad outweigh one another, and you just try to do more good. There's religions that are based on that. It's one thing and one thing only. It is by that which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's only one thing that keeps a person out of heaven, and that's rejecting Jesus Christ as saving Lord. And there's only one thing that a person can do to get into heaven, and that's receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But you first must acknowledge that you are a sinner and that you are separated.